Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope that you have a great time receiving the body of Christ and to be able to really be with Him. Do I need to use microphone or it's okay? Okay. All right. So, did you rest well?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you take action already about last night's word? That's the question, right? Yeah. What did we talk about yesterday? Huh? Huh? Oh, there's so many things. Okay. So we're here this weekend again, right? We're here because we want to be like Christ, right? We want to live like Christ. And that's why I share with you that I purposely put this in the middle, because like is the most key issue that we need to know. Be alive, knowing God or not. Like we talk about, we have actually a workshop happened yesterday. And we say, people can know that God exists, but if you have nothing to do with Him, there's nothing that you can do about it. So that's why you have to not only be alive, not only that Christ is alive also, but you need to be like it. And that's the whole purpose of why we're here. And so today, we're going to continue our second one. And I'm just going to give you a little recap, and we'll just continue from that. All right? And so again, this four secrets I want to share with you, and I already share with you one of them, and it's really about the way to the epic life. And this is something that I really pray that we can continue to think about, to study upon. And so what we talked about yesterday was epic life is to first begin with, you have to empty yourself. It's that with that E, empty yourself. Those who have ears, let them hear. And I was sharing with some people, and then some people came to me and also say, how do you empty yourself? We know emptying yourself is very important, essential. But then the desire of wanting to do so, how do you do that? And I'm not going to lie to you, it is not easy. It is not. But I can tell you one thing, it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. Because once you empty yourself, you can continue on from that point on. But if you don't empty yourself, you will get stagnant. You will stop there and you will just stay around where you are all the time. And so that's why today we want to continue on. But then with that essence, with that foundation of empty yourself, my first question, and I will always ask you this again and again, did you take action? Because this is what God will ask. I was talking with my dad, and he was sharing with me how he was, when he was a deacon, when he was young, and there's a person, there's an elder who's leading him, and then every time when he met him, like even from far, he's a little like, oh man, it's him. And then, because whenever they meet, the elder's asking, did you read Bible? Did you pray? And so my dad's always put on the spot. And even if he said yes, what did you read? Which chapter? Which book? Okay, Matthew, Mark, then talk about it. Tell me about what you read. And tell me more. And at the end, let's do a closing prayer. So even in the midst of that, he's being checked and checked and checked again. Imagine if Jesus is here today. What kind of question will he ask you? What kind of question he asked the disciples 2,000 years ago? After he preached, what did he ask? Did you understand? Remember? That's often what he asked for. And now we have to know, did you take action? You say you understand emptying is important, but did you take action? That's the question. So are you half empty now? Or are you someone who say, you know what? Yes. It's empty. Which one? Half empty? Raise your hand. Yes, I'm empty. Okay. Not starting yet. Okay, we just smile. Alright? So everyone, epic life. Epic life. Today we're going to go on. And we're going to go on to the next topic. We're going to talk about the P. Now what do you suppose? What's P? What's P to you? Huh?
Play.
Pray. Oh, I'm sorry, Eden. Pray. What else?
It looks like
Pinterest. That's right. You're right. I want you to be interested in this. That's why I put it there like that. And there's a lot of P. I want you to take one of them, you know. What's your P? Anyone willing to share? Let's be more response tonight, today, because it's Sunday. I'm sure God's here listening. Anyone? Josh. P. What's P? What's your P?
They said it already.
Play, okay. Adrian, right? Andre, what do you think your P is?
Potential.
Huh?
Potential.
Potential, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Eric? Pray? Huh? Something in the back?
Possibility.
Okay. We have more now. Any more?
Priority.
Wow. More, please.
Positive.
Any more?
Praise.
Practice.
Perseverance.
Wow, you guys' vocabulary is very good. Paul.
Personalize.
Anyone more? Teresa. Oh, she... Nothing yet. More? Huh? Power. Oh. Powerful person sick. Power. Any more?
Patience.
Huh?
Patient.
Problems. Problems. After you empty yourself, you see problem. Okay? That's very true. Any more?
Peace.
Oh. More.
Praise.
Okay? More. Should I give you a hint? It's from Matthew, chapter 5, the last verse. Jesus said something very epic. No one dared to say something like that. And he said, be perfect. He said, be perfect. Therefore, like as your heavenly Father is perfect, to live an epic life, you need to live perfectly. Today we heard about how to crucify together with Christ. Today we learned actually through the sermon that we actually learned, if you hold your tongue, right, through James, you are a perfect person, right? If you do something like that, be perfect is something that we have to learn. And that is why I really invite you today, as we talk about this P message, as we learn about the emptiness, let's learn about the perfection. Let's become perfect. And that's what I want to do today. So with this, let me open up with a prayer and let's invite the Lord to come again. Let's pray. Our Father God, Holy Spirit, Holy Son, we thank you so much for this time. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that you have done everything possible. But what you did more than what's possible is that you did a perfect life. You did a perfect life, not because the world saw it was perfect. You did it perfectly because God saw it was perfect. You did it only according to what God wills, and that is why we're here. Because we know the world can tell us a lot of things. But what do you say? We don't want to hear the world, but we want to hear what you want to say today. We do not want to hear the person standing in front of them speaking, but we want to hear the voice that we can hear and resound in our hearts through the Spirit. Today we invite you, Jesus, please step into this room. We're like the jewels that we need to shine only when you're here. And I cannot speak if you're not here. Please convey your heart. Please convey your feelings to them, each and every one of them. I truly ask from the beginning until the end that you be with them. In the name of our Lord Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, perfect sounds very good, right? Do you want to be perfect? Raise your hand if you want to be perfect. Okay? But what do you think the world tells you? Have you heard the world tell you that, hey, you can be perfect? Or vice versa? Oh, I see people shaking heads. What the world tell you? They say, nobody is perfect. Now, how many people agree with this? Raise your hand. Nobody is perfect. Whoa. Earlier, you guys just wanted to be perfect. And then now you guys say, nobody can be perfect. Now, nobody is perfect or nobody can be perfect. Let me ask you this question once again. What do you think? Is nobody is perfect or nobody can be perfect? Which one? First one or second one? You can raise your finger, one or two. First one is nobody is perfect. Second one is nobody can be perfect. I see three. What happened? One, this is not a math question here, right? Okay. Also, we have some people say nobody can be perfect. And we have people, what do you guys think? Can we be perfect? Huh?
It's perfect, but people can be perfect? I don't know.
Okay? In fact, if we look at the world, what's the world doing to us every single day? They're shaking our faith, they're shaking our confidence, they're shaking our perfection. They're breaking it down one by one. We go to class, we go to school, we go to work, we go back to home, we go to the world. It is being shaped off one by one. And that's what we face. So that's why I want to ask you this question before we begin. What do you think? What do you really think? Do you think perfection, is perfection possible? Is perfection impossible? Or is perfection possible? What's possible? Let's go beyond possible and impossible and like that. Possible, right? Someone heard of it before, right? What do you think? Which one do you think? Is it possible? Is it not possible? Or is beyond that you can even fathom about it? Perfection. This is a question. Everyone, give me a choice. 1, 2, 3. One more time. Just everyone raise your hand one right now. Just 1, 2, or 3. Okay. I want to challenge you, whoever chose 2 and 3, I want to challenge you, not with my own word, but I want to challenge you with Jesus Christ's word. He said, be perfect. It's not a doubt. If he say be perfect, it means that there is a possibility to be perfect. Do you believe? Right? There is a possibility. Otherwise, we need to rephrase this verse. We need to say, pray about it. Be perfect when you can. Since your Father in heaven is perfect. It has to be rephrased. But no, today, it say be perfect. It's a command. It's a statement. It's a make existence of this perfection. And so that's why today we're going to talk about this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And this is something that I was deeply moved when I was a kid. I really love this verse. Let's read it together. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Have you read this verse before? I love this verse. How many people love this one? Yeah. If God is for us, all right, who can be against us? And you say that to your sister and brothers, right? Right? Really, who can be against us? No one can. Why? That we can. Today, this is a title that I want to share with you. Because I can. Why? Because God is for us. I can because God is for us. And that is why. Now, I want to ask you this powerful statement. Do you believe this statement? That you can. Do you believe it? Nod your head if you do. Shake your head if you don't. Do you believe that you can? If I ask you to become perfect, if Jesus said be perfect, do you think you can? Okay. Now I want to talk about a little bit about what belief is. Did you know God created human brains in a very mysterious way? Human brains is so amazing. It's fascinating. Human brains, we're still studying about it. Human brains, we cannot even fathom the potential of it. Sometimes we say it's 10%, we're using the capacity of it. Sometimes we even dilute it down to 1% because there's just vast of possibility out there. But did you know when God created the brain, and he also created something called belief. Every time when Jesus was about to heal someone, he always asked them, do you believe? Right? Or sometimes he asks, it's like, be healed according to your faith. Be healed according to your belief. And this is what he asked. Did you know when you believe, your brain produces something called endorphin? Have you heard that before? Yeah? And what does that do? It's a hormone that really gives you energy, gives you power. It gives you something that you normally don't have, but that at that moment you have joy, you have excitement, you have all of this emotion rushing when that endorphin is being released. But do you know that happens when you believe? Do you know healing comes from the belief? That's why we have placebo effect. We give people just, you know, tic tac and just tell them that this is a magic medicine. They believe it. And cancers will heal, terminal disease will heal because they believe. Everyone, do you believe? Do you believe that you can be perfect? I'm not here to do a motivational speaking or something. I'm not here to do that. But I'm here to relay what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. This word has been there in your Bible, in my Bible, in everyone's Bible, Matthew 5, verse 48. Be perfect. He said, be perfect. That is why today I stand before you confidently, telling you, you can be perfect. And in fact, sharing with you what I believe perfection is and what perfection can help us. We can be perfect. Perfection is possible only because God is for us. We have God with us. That is why no one can be against us. No one can tell us that we cannot. And I want you to take this home today. Now, let's be logical. Since I know you guys really love verse, Bible and all that, some people came to me and say, wow, some verses I was really enlightened. So I'm going to go through a lot of verses. Now, is God, this first question, is God perfect? Yes or no? Louder, please. Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, very good. That's the loudest one. And why? Because we have been going on this verse again and again. This is like the seventh time showing this verse. Because Jesus said, your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, get this down. AX equal God is perfect. Right? No doubt. Right? I'm going to give you a Y now. Okay? It's mankind then. If God is perfect, how about mankind? Us. Are we perfect? Yes or no?
Yes.
Louder, please. Yes or no?
No.
Oh, you hear the differences, right? You hear the differences. Earlier I say X is God is perfect. How about Y? Mankind, are we perfect? Some people say no, some people say yes. I'll give you a verse. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. This is a very, very important verse. This is, in fact, the first chapter of the Bible. We need to know this. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, right? And the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So what did God do? God created mankind in his own image. It's in the image of God he created them. Male, female, he created them. Not only image here I'm trying to do, but also the likeness. Do you know where I'm going with this? Do you know where I'm going with this? Is God perfect?
Yes.
If God is perfect and he create us in his own image, own likeness, what do you suppose? Can humankind be perfect? Think about it again, right? If God is perfect, his creation, do you think will have flaws? Oh. So today I'm going to go through this. I'm going to go through this and I want to talk about this. Everyone, the reason why right now some of you are still hesitant to say, yes, I can be perfect, there's a reason. I'm going to share with you what that is. So let's take step by step. Let's take it slow. Third question, what is God? In John 4, 24, the true worshiper should worship God in spirit and truth. But there's a phrase before that. What is that? Jesus said, God is spirit. God's spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. What does that mean? What does that mean? Then whose perspective should you listen to? Do you want to listen to the perspective of God or the perspective of the world that tells you you cannot? What is the Bible telling us in Isaiah 55? Telling us that God declares something. He say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Whose perspective then? What are we here for? We're here to be like Christ. Today I want to challenge you to throw away your perspective of what the world tells you. The perspective of how you see yourself. What you say doesn't matter. What the world says doesn't matter. But what God says, it matters. Today He say, I am perfect. I create you in my image and likeness. Therefore, you can also be perfect. Do you believe? If you really believe, miracles will happen. If you really believe, something will start trickle. And that is what all this weekend is about. To live that epic life. To empty out everything. I share with you to empty out everything first. Because I'm going to give you something that's hard to take in. This is not my word again. This is Jesus Christ's word. And He said, be perfect, for your Heavenly Father is perfect. So that's why I'm challenging you again, once again. You want to live an epic life. You have to empty yourself, right? It's not easy, but it's worth it, definitely. And this is what we're here for. And so, really, let me go back to this again. Can we be perfect or can we not? I really hope that the answer will start to form more firmly, more confidently as you listen, continue on. Perfect. We can be perfect. And so today, I want to share with you a few points about what perfection means to God. Because if God is a person who is a perfect being and He created us, then how should we be perfect? Because perfection is different, right? James, through James, we learn, to James, perfection means keep your mouth, right? Be careful what to say. If you can hold and control your tongue, then you can do everything. This is what we learn. And throughout the Bible, there's a lot of things like that. So I want to share with you a few points, because I don't just want to tell you to be perfect, but I want to share with you a definition from God's perspective, what perfection means to Him, so that we can live accordingly. Because we know what perfection means to the world, and that's why we cannot achieve it. We know what perfection means to us, that's why we fail again and again. But we need to know. Today I want you to empty yourself, let down everything, and hear what God says. And see if this is a perfection that you can achieve with Him. Are you ready? Yeah. Alright, are you guys still alive? Yeah. Alright, let's go. Right? The first thing, perfection means do things until the end. Until the end. Whatever that you do, do it until the end. Whatever that means to you, do it until the end. This is what perfection means. In Matthew 13, 24, 27, there is a parable. And this parable tells us a lot of things. And I want to address this. Jesus told them another parable. Josh, can you read for us? Loud and clear, please.
Jesus told them another parable. Kingdom of heaven is like man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?
Okay, so far what happened here? There's a man sowing good seed, right? But then the end result is what? Weeds came out. What happened there? Why? Because while everyone's sleeping, someone came. Alright? But no one knows. So as a result of that, right? What did the owner reply? Josh, can you continue? Or
okay, I'll do it. An enemy did this. He replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered. Because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Yesterday, we asked a question. Have you ever heard people ask, why did God allow evil to happen? Right? If God is so good, why evil? Why would not He do something? if it's going to happen that way. First of all, you need to know there is an enemy. A lot of time we don't know there's an enemy because everything's done spiritually. We don't know there's an enemy. We may know, but it's not real for us. But unless we open our spiritual eyes to see what they're doing and actually realizing that they're distracting everything, then we can understand. Did you know God's the number one being that is being misunderstood? Because everything we know that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, but we never learn about what Satan is about. How many churches talk about Satan in details, telling you the secrets of Satan? Because Revelation talked about it. There are secrets of Satan that we need to be aware of, but we don't know. But what was God's plan? He said, let both grow together until the harvest. Do you know why? Can you differentiate between wheat and wheat when they're young? When they just sprouted, can you differentiate? Did you know thorns and thistles, when they're young, even rabbit can feed on them? Because they're so tender. Tigers and lions, when they're young, yeah? They're like a cat. They're like the dad's like, "Whoa!" right? And then their baby ones are like, "Meow." Yeah, that's what they do. Really, that's what they do. And so if you think, oh, it's a cat, and you bring it home, good luck, right? You're like, well, wait and see what happened until the end, right? Do things until the end is one of the way to what? To differentiate. When you stir a cup of water, and there's a lot of particle inside, and it's like everything's mixture and all that, what do people tell you to do? And you say, it's so unclear, it's cloudy, everything's clouded. I don't know what's inside. What do people tell you to do? Put it on the table and wait. Why? Because everything will come down to the bottom. You will know what's floating and what's in the bottom. You will know what's inside. And in our hearts too, if you look at this perspective in the spiritual sense, a lot of times our brain, our thoughts are clouded. But what do? We rush to do even more. We rush to make decisions. But that's not the way. We need to pray. We need to be still. We need to empty ourselves. This is the reason why we need to do that. This is the first step we need to take. Did you know when emergency situation happened, did they teach you how to react? Anyone? When emergency like situation happened, like let's say a very fatal car accident, when it happens, what's your first reaction?
Stay calm.
Stay calm. Paul, exactly. A lot of people there, oh my God, someone trapped inside and they want to go and pull them out. And they say, do you know, 60 to 80% of that, you actually affect them more in a negative way than helping them. You should stay there, tell them that someone's coming, be there with them, tell them to stay awake instead of just trying to do something. And sometimes when you yourself experience that, you're in panic mode. When you panic, do you know your brain shuts off? That's what happened. So that's why sometimes people teach you, count to five. Have you heard that before? When a serious situation happens, count to five. How many of you really do this spiritually? Do you say, when situation happens, wait a minute, right? God, what's going on? Do you do that? Not really. To be honest with you, not really. A lot of people say, I will believe in God when accident really happens. You know, when I'm going toward an accident, I'll be, God save me, and I'll be saved that way. Do you know when accident actually happened, do you know what happened? You just, like that. That's all you do. That's all you do, really. You have no way to think of God, of calling God. You probably call your mom before you call your God. Really, you probably forgot about God everywhere. That is the reason. That is the reason we have to know. We have to learn. We have to know what to do. Stay calm. Stay until the end. Do things until the end. Be calm. This is what we need to learn. When you do things until the end, everything is being done at the end. God judges at the end. God rewards at the end. It's at the end. Have you seen palm tree? Coconut tree too. I love those trees. You know why? Because Bible described them as the righteous people. Righteous people are the palm tree. You know why? When do they bear fruit? Huh? When they're old. At the end of their lifetime, they bear fruit. Do you see coconut tree on the bottom of the coconut tree? No. Nothing holds that, right? Coconut tree has to be straight, right? And then at the end of that top, it bears fruit. In Psalm, right? Righteous people, God say, they're like palm tree. They're like coconut tree. Because they bear fruit at the right time. Everyone, we need to bear fruit at the right time. If we don't bear fruit at the right time, it's not right. God always does things until the end. Did he not love you until the end? Did Jesus not stay until the end? He did. And that is why we have to do things until the end. When you do things until the end, that is perfection to God. Do you believe? Revelation 2:10. It says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, however, even to the point of death. And at that, I will give you life as your victor's crown." Be faithful, even to the point of death. Our faith, we asked this question in our workshop. Is it once saved, forever saved? This is a question we ask ourselves again and again. God say, Jesus say, be faithful even to the point of death. I will give you life as your victors. What does that mean then? What if you're not faithful? Do you still get the life as your crown? I want you to think about that. Right, Christian, we learn to be nice, right? In fact, when we learn about the 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, when God's taking away the 1 talent and give it to the ones that already have abundant, we feel like, I thought caring is sharing. What happened, right? This is what we thought. And that's the thing that we always wonder. So this is something that I want to ask you. Be faithful until the end. Have your faith until the end. It's not a done deal while you're still alive. No, it's until the end. Faith has to be done until the end. Can you really become a graduate if you drop out in the middle? Can you become a successful company if you just shut down just because things are not going well? Nothing will happen if you don't do it until the end. Even Peter came to Jesus. They have a conversation. This is something that you know about very well. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And what do you suppose? I think Peter's probably pretty proud, right? Yeah, 7 times it's enough. But what did Jesus say? No, right? Not 7 times. But 77 times. We may read as 77 times. Seven times. But in other transcription and also translations, it's 70 of the 7 times that you came and asked me for. So what does that mean? Wow, your math is good, right? 409 times. Now what do you suppose? Let me ask you this question. What do you suppose? Do you suppose that Jesus say, "Okay, Peter, from this moment on, take a notebook and start tracking." Oh, why do you look at me that way? 489 times. "Oh, what did you say that to me?" 488 times. And then she said, "What did I say?" "No, it's not what you said, but the way you said it." 487 times. "Oh, that 486 times. Do you think this is what Jesus is trying to tell Peter? That when you forgive, it's good enough when you reach 490 times. Is this the point? No. When we forgive, we need to do it until the end. 7 is a perfection number that God has made. God created 6 days. On the 7th day, he rested. 7 is perfection in God's eyes. What does it mean? It means forgive them until the end. Children will not understand this, but parents will. Will you forgive your kids until the end? Will you still love them until the end? This is something that you experienced. And think about marriage too. If you don't go until the end, what happens to your marriage? Love becomes hate when you don't go until the end. Until the end seems so simple, but it's such a dedication, it's such a way that you can really live a life like Christ. Everyone, really, Let's be someone who does things until the end. Amen? Let me share with you a second point. Do not give up. It may seem the same, but I want to show you a few verses, and then I want to show you why do not give up is important. And why do not give up is the perfection that God is looking for. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, there's a story. And again, you might know this story very well. Anyone want to read for us? Okay, please.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
And not give up.
He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, granting justice against her adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think.'"
Hold on one second. Yet.
"Yet because his widow keeps bothering, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see to get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith?"
What happened here? Thank you so much. But what happened here? There's a widow. There's an unjust judge. And the story goes that she knocks because she wants justice. But what was the response from the unjust judge? Did he help? He didn't help. So right now they're doing race. Both of them, they're trying to do until the end. I keep knocking and I keep rejecting and see who wins. But who won at the end? The widow won or the judge won? Huh? The widow won. Why? Because she persists until the end. Even a very unjust judge cave in. When someone like that constantly, continuously go to him again and again and again. And what is Jesus trying to say? Even an unjust judge, we act this way, how much more when God, who is just, would do for his chosen ones? Would he wait, let them wait and sit out there? No. He said, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." So when you pray, don't give up. I like a phrase called push, and many of you have probably heard this before. When you pray, push. This is what you should do. Push until something happens. Right? P-U-S-H. Push. Pray until something happens. When you pray like that, that's the true prayer. When you pray and you stop in the middle and give up your prayer, that's not the prayer. Because even if God were to give you, God cannot give you. Let's say you want a house and your parents say, "Okay, I'll give you a house." But the moment that your parents okays it, but then you say, "Why don't I have it? I want it now." But does it take time to build? Yes, it does. It takes time to build. Everyone, we need to know that God works with time too. Yeah? We need to be patient sometimes that God is working on it. God is on the way to do this for us. So we truly, let's not give up. Especially when we are doing good deeds. In Galatians chapter 6, it gives us something like that. Enoch, can you read for us?
"Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Man will reap what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest of the beginning of the day. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of the believers."
Do not give up. When you're taking action, do you know what's the biggest thing that you will give up the first? The good deeds. Right? Because you do good, you give and you give and you give. But what do you get back? Nothing. I heard a whisper, nothing. You probably experienced that a lot of time, right? But God says, perfection means even at those times of nothing, continue. Don't give up doing good. until the end. Why? Because if you do good, know that the law of heaven is one day you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you did, earlier we give you a parable, right? If it's being sown, the wheat will come out. But if the wheat come out because there's some enemies sowing the weeds, that is why we have to know the law of God. In this world, you give, but you may not receive. But in God's world, I give you this guarantee. God will always give you back. However much you give, God will in fact multiply. Do you believe? He will give you more than what you give. God said, give me 10% and God flood down 90% back. How amazing is that? All he asks for is just 10. And already, he's the first one who gave you. So that's why he can ask for it. So everyone, really, let's think about it. Especially when we do good, don't give up. Perfection without action. That is something I hope that we can do. So earlier I shared with you, we have to be until the end. We have to do things until the end. We have to follow until the end. We have to do it without giving up. This is the perfection that God is looking for. This is the perfection that God is here for. And then third one, I want you to raise your level. And what I mean by raise your level is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, there's an interesting verse. You know what? Let me... Okay. All of you want to go heaven, right?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Everyone's smiling. Yeah, 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 definitely. Which heaven do you want to go? Oh, I see some people frown. What do you mean, which heaven we want to go? Yeah, my question is right. Which heaven do you want to go?
The one with Jesus in it.
The one with Jesus in it. Oh, that's actually a good answer. Oh, that's actually a good answer. There's a reason why I say that. But which heaven do you want to go? See, you puzzle because you're not sure what I'm asking for. Did you know Paul said something? When he said this, the reaction 2,000 years ago was exactly the same like you guys. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, have you heard about this? Have you learned about this in Sunday school? Not yet? Alright, so maybe Pastor Jay can teach you guys about it. Yeah, the third heaven. You didn't know? It's in your Bible too. Check it out, 2 Corinthians 12 too. Third heaven. If you're wondering what's going on, then look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven. Do you think it was a singular form or a plural form? Heaven or heavens?
Maybe both.
Check it out. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Go back and check. Why are we not reading Bible? If we're reading Bible, why are we not reading carefully? There's third heaven. It's not my word. It's Paul's word. Now my question to you is, do we know there's a fourth heaven? No, we don't. But God is logical. When there's a third heaven, what does it mean? There has to be a second heaven and there has to be a first heaven. I cannot guarantee you whether there will be a fourth heaven or not, but I can guarantee you there's a second and there's a first. Without Bible needing to say anything. This is a logic that God's created. Can you have third floor without the first and second floor? No. And think about carefully, why is there a third one? How many testaments do we have in the Bible, in God's history? We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, and we have, do we have one more? Yeah, we have a 1,000 millennium kingdom, and that is a testament that will come. Everyone, something's coming. Someone's coming. Are you aware of that? Why third heaven? Do you think each stage, the believers, they go to the same place? Why was paradise and heaven never mentioned in the Bible? But only when New Testament happens. Why do you suppose that? We have to understand the Bible. We have to know from the entirety of everything. Well, for the first time, some people are like, oh, this is interesting. I never heard this before. But everyone, there is a third heaven. What does that mean? It means that you need to raise your level. In the Old Testament, you are a servant of God. You are. God will call you servant. You are servant to God. You have to call God master. But if you stay at that level, when Jesus came, what will happen? You'll be left behind. Jesus will come and he will establish the kingdom of children. Whoever believes and follows, they will be called the sons of God. But if the Jewish people say, no, I have Abraham as my father, and you saw that again in the Bible again and again, right? What do you suppose they can go? Can they be the children of God? They cannot be a part of it. They can't. They simply cannot. When the time comes, you need to raise your level. Every single day, you need to raise your level. Every single moment, you need to raise your level. That is perfection. Until when? Until the end. Until you die. Do you suppose the subject that you're learning in the school, same thing? Sure, it's math, but is it the same math? Oh no, right? Sure, it's science, but is it the same science? Oh no. Do you know God? Every single morning, he said, my mercy is new. God is new every day. Even God is advancing. Even God is raising his level. How much more should we? Should we not? We should raise our level too. That itself is perfection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. A lot of people, they ask, how do you know God's will? Right? And we asked this question last time too. How do you know God's will? There's an answer to it. Simple, but it's not easy. Let's read it together. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, do you think this is easy? Do you know how easy we want to pay back with wrongs? You heard Jesus say, when someone slap you on the left, right? What do? You turn your right cheek to them. Now let's make sense of this. Why? A lot of people jokes about it. But there's no joke about this. Think about this psychologically. Have you ever been slapped? Be honest, it's okay. Yeah, safe circle. Yeah, it's not embarrassing. Have you been slapped? Or, let me ask a more critical question. Have you slapped someone? I know you all wanted to, right? I'm sure. It's like, oh, I just wanted to. Right? You have that moment, right? Do you know what happens when you slap people? Let me give you an example. Josh? Oh, no. Okay. All right. No demonstration from the group now. Okay. When you slap someone and pop, right? At that moment, do you know what's in my head? Subconsciously, do you know what's in my head? Do you know what I wish the most at that moment? That moment, pop! Do you know what I wanted at that moment? There's something I want in my heart. Do you know what I want? Anyone can guess? The moment I slap this person, because I'm so angry, and I just, boom! Do you know what I want the next step? Huh? Huh? That guy to hit me back? That guy to hit me back. Do you know? In subconsciously, I want that person to hit me back. You know why? Because if he pop me back, then this is on. It's like, this is on. This is war now. You slap me, I'll slap you. And then, he kept going on, right? That's what happens. That's really what happens. Subconsciously in your heart, you want that person to hit you back. Why? Because you have the right to really slap him. Well, I'm not teaching you how to slap people here. This is not why we're here. Jesus never slapped people here. But I need to talk about this. Now, why is it amazing if someone slap you and turn your other cheeks to them? Do you know why? Because there's a guilt. There's a guilt of this person slap. And if you don't hit him back, there's a guilt that will grow inside of them. Imagine this. Let's get another scenario. Josh? If I slap Josh, I just continually, okay? I was like, and let's say I just ignore my feeling, guilt, everything. I just continue to slap him. Continue to slap. Do you know what happened at the end? What happens at the end? Tell me. Huh?
I'm a loser.
Huh? Huh?
I'm a loser.
At the end, I stop. You know why? It's no fun. What fun is this to continue to slap someone? At the end, my hand hurts. And this person I tried to hurt, he's like smiling. If that makes you feel better, oh, I'm sorry, my face is a little chubby, so I should have been more chubby, so you'll be softer, so you won't hit my cheekbone, so I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, right? Do you know what happens at the end? This war ends. No more fights. Even next time, I don't want to stab you anymore. Why? Because there's no fun. Do you know how many wars can be stopped if we just practice this one law from Jesus? Really, think about it. Why World War I, II happened? It's because one strike another, and they strike back, and then it continue on and involve different nations. That is why. See, when people respond that way, then guess what? The war goes on. And at the end, casualty. Right? Either your face is disfigured or your hands disfigured. Right? That's the reason. Everyone, think about it. It's so easy to pay wrong with wrong. So easy. That is why the word here is the key. Why do you need to always strive? Because it's not easy to do good. You experience this because you have done good. It's not easy to do good. You have to strive to do that. And you have to do it all the time. Now, think about this. Rejoice? Do you think it's easy to rejoice? Not really. Do you know how high standard we are now? Right now, when you get an iPhone, it's like, psh, it's okay. Yeah, I have two. Right? Another person, oh, I have three. iPad mini, iPad Air, and whatever. I have too many. You're not satisfied. Why? Because our standard of life has gone up. To please someone right now, oh, it's so hard. You know, the first anniversary, right? It's always easy. Oh, honey, anniversary, right? Just a single rose. They're so happy. Just the fact that you mentioned to it, did you remember that we were there? And then I bring you to that place, right? And you're like so happy about it. But everyone, really think about it. What happened to the fifth anniversary? You bought all the gifts that you can squeeze out from your brain. 10th anniversary. What happens? 15th anniversary. 20th. Right? Think about it. Think about it. The 30th anniversary. What can you get that will please this person that you love? And some people have to go extreme as recite and do their vow all over again. They want a second marriage with the same person to feel satisfied in the same marriage. That's what they want. This doesn't make sense. Why? Because the standard of our life and living has gone up. It's not easy to rejoice, but to rejoice always. When you receive the gift for the first time, thank you. Second time, thank you. Third time, why is the same thing? Right? You don't know how to be thankful anymore. Right? The fourth time, Starbucks again, right? Oh, fifth time, cappuccino with the heart on it. I've seen that too many times, right? Oh, Seattle from the original stores, right? Oh, wow, it's special. But the seventh time? How many times have you taken the Holy Communion? Millions and millions of times, I would say. But was it the same? Was it really the same? I'm asking you this because we just took the communion. But what's in your heart? Just another piece of circular something. Doesn't even look like Jesus' body. And the grape juice this morning was sour. What's up with that? Who prepared that? Right? Why is it like that? Why is our heart like that? Everyone, strive. Perfection, you need to put work to it. Perfection means always be that way. Do you know the difference between a professional and amateur? Professional, they always deliver the same standard, right? You don't want to go watch a game when someone's good today and then bad the next three games, right? You want to know someone who's good all the time. Who can deliver you? There's one person. Jesus Christ can deliver anytime, at anywhere. He's someone that when you call, He will answer. He's someone that He's always there, even when you do not know He's there. That is why He's perfection. And not only that, to pray is not easy already, but to pray continually. Time's up. Oh, picture. And then to give thanks in all circumstances. So everyone, why is this the will of God? There's a reason. It's because it's not easy. But can we do it? We can do it. We surely can do it. So today I'm going to stop here for now because we have to go take a picture. So I hope that at least we talk with, hopefully the next one I can continue on to finish it and then go on to the next one so that I can at least complete it later. Any questions so far? Can we be perfect?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll do a short closing real quick and then we'll take a photo. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for this time. You are perfect. You're spirit. And that is why the perfection that you look for is a spiritual perfection. The perfection that you look for is a life, the eternal life that we can receive from you. Today, we heard too many. We heard from the world. We heard from ourselves. We heard from our families and friends. We heard too many. This is the reason why we do not believe that we can be perfect. But you create us in your image and likeness. You want us to be like you. In fact, Jesus came and told us that we can be like you. Therefore, we pray. Today, let us be able to start thinking and believe that we can. This is the first and foremost thing that we need to understand. If we don't have this, then we cannot even live an epic life. We cannot even continue on to be like Christ. Therefore, I truly pray. The reason why Jesus can be perfect, because He believed He could. And He did. He absolutely obeyed whatever the Lord had given Him. I truly pray that You would give us the same heart, same thoughts, so that we can really strive to do Your will, to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to be thankful at all circumstances. I truly pray that as we continue on, may You continue to speak to us and let us make ourselves perfectly by emptying ourselves and by doing everything according to take action. I thank You and all this I pray in the name of our Jesus Christ. Amen.